You may be seated, and if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Tonight we're going to continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. We've been learning to pray the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer for some weeks now. Years ago, I got a hold of some material, and I was back then, I was walking quite a bit on the walking track, and I would learn to pray this series in segments. And I'll never forget, someone told me, says, I pray about 5 minutes and then I've told God everything I know. And I thought about that. I can spend 1 hour just saying hello to God because I learned how to pray those names, those compound redemptive names. But this is a model prayer, and we've been taking it apart piece by piece, and I want us to continue to look into it. But Dr. Mark Rutland, he just released this book right here, 21 Seconds to Change Your World. He says it takes 21 seconds to pray the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It says, finding God's healing and abundance through prayer. So in this book, Dr. Rutland, he tells how the Lord's Prayer literally saved his life. He slipped into deep depression, and it was at a time of great success in his life. But he went into depression, and a voice told him, says, you don't have a prayer. And then another voice spoke and said, yes, you do. You have a prayer if you will learn to use it. And Dr. Rutland began to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again, day after day, week after week. And for years, he prayed that prayer. And God brought him out of that awful, dismal darkness of depression. And he has released this book. It's fairly current, 21 Seconds to Change Your World. I suggest that you get a copy of it. It's a good read. It's an easy read. And it will bless your life. But let's pray the Lord's Prayer together as it's found in Matthew 6 and 9 and following. Let's look at it together. And let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So far, we have talked about our Father, that we have a relationship with God. He is our Heavenly Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 3:26, because this is so important right here. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Some people say we're all children of God. No, we aren't. You've got to be born again to be a child of God. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have been reconciled to God the Father through the precious blood of Jesus. Then we learn how to hallow his name through praise and through worship. The word Jehovah, it means the God that reveals himself. And we have studied the 8 Old Testament compound names of God and those redemptive names and the benefits that are associated with those names. There's a copy of it at the Welcome Center. You can pick it up. There's some good material at that Welcome Center that you can study and you can learn to pray, and it will enhance your prayer life. I promise you that. But all of these compound redemptive names, they're fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, his work at the cross, and God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he has made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus in everything that's in the kingdom of God. Now, if you're a joint heir, that doesn't mean you get half of it. It means you get anything you need. Hallelujah. So whatever we need, we can go to the throne of grace, and we can obtain it through faith in Calvary's blood. Dr. Stan Toler, he said there are 7,493 promises in the Word of God. Now, I haven't counted them, so I'm just going to take his word for it. Amen. But he said 7,493 promises. But all of the promises of God, they are yes and amen. When we say amen to one of God's promises, when we lay hold of that by faith, it brings glory to God. It's a form of our praise. It's a form of our worship that I say amen to your promises. Hallelujah. So all of these promises, they cover the problems we face, the protection we need, the provisions that we lack, the power that's available to us, and the promises that God has made to each and every one of us. Last week, Pastor Ricky, he taught, Thy Kingdom Come. Tonight, I'm going to teach my portion the way I pray it. I pray it like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the way I like to pray it together like that. I like to pray that because when I pray it this way, I'm establishing and I'm maintaining my goals and my priorities by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Some of your translations, if you've got one of them, it says on earth. The older manuscripts in the King James Version, it says in earth. And that's important because Dr. Rutland, I got this nugget from his book. He said, in earth, that let your kingdom come inside of me. In me. I was formed out of the dirt. Man was formed out of the dirt. If you don't believe it, just look at a white shirt after you wear it, and you'll find you got a ring around a collar. Dirt. Hallelujah. So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but think soberly and righteously, and think about your life being hid with Christ in God. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I like to make that faith declaration regarding God's kingdom and God's will. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what is God's kingdom? That's a mystery to a lot of people, but it's not a mystery. It's not something far off in some distant place that you're going to obtain someday. His kingdom is actually inside of us. Romans 14:17, look at that. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a matter of eating and drinking, but it consists of three things. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is God's presence within. You're the temple of the living God. God said, I'll walk in them. I'll dwell in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is your oneness with God the Father. Jesus prayed in John 17. Prayer is so important. He said, Father, I pray that they may be one, even as we are one, I and thou in me, that they might be one in us, and that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God loves you. God loves you just like he loves his only begotten son. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of God is God's presence. The kingdom of God has a king, and his name is King Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So you're in the greatest kingdom that could ever be. It's the kingdom of God. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we are asking Jesus to establish his rulership and his lordship over our lives. The Apostle Paul tells us in this way. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word. Words are important. But the kingdom of God is in power. What that simply means is this. When we surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ produces his power, righteousness, peace, and joy in our hearts. Goes right back to what Paul said in Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when we submit to the lordship of Jesus, then Jesus establishes his righteousness, his peace, and his joy in our hearts. You don't have to wonder, you know, where God is. You are his righteousness, and you can know that. You have his peace, and you can have it. You have his joy, And you can live there if you choose to. Or you can just get your eyes on everything that's going on in the world and you won't have the kingdom within. You'll be in the kingdom, but you won't have it within you. You'll make it to heaven, but while you're here, you live in hell. I promise you that. You have to understand that God has a plan for your life, and God's plan is a good plan. The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, we're new creatures in Christ. We're God's masterpiece. Think about that. That one translation says you are his masterpiece. And the devil is trying to tell you, you don't have all that you think you have. Yes, you do. You just have to come to revelation of what belongs to you in Christ. And when we fully surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, then the kingdom is worked out. See, God's plan for our life can never happen until you reach that place of full surrender. I don't know where that message title comes, God Can Master Your Breakthrough, but it was from a little story that Pastor Ricky told last week, and it was about the pastor in Romania, and that thing just got inside of me. I love that little story. And I've heard a lot of preaching about sanctification, separation unto God, holy living, but I believe this is the best one I have ever heard as far as how to obtain the sanctified life. And Pastor Ricky, he told this story about this pastor in Romania, and he made the following statement. He said, "You talk about commitment in America, but we talk about surrender in Romania." And the brother that was with him, he asked, "Well, what is the difference?" And the pastor said, "Well, you see, when you make a commitment to someone, you're in control, and you decide what you're going to do, and then you do it. When you make a surrender to another person, you put the other person in control, and they decide what you're going to do, and then you do it." So tonight, I want to look at four areas in our lives where we need to establish God's kingdom by our prayer life. Four areas in each and every one of our lives that we need to establish God's kingdom by our prayer. Amen? Pray, first of all, for yourself. Secondly, pray for your family. Thirdly, pray for your church. And then, lastly, pray for your nation. First of all, let's look at pray for yourself, number one. Begin with yourself. Hallelujah. I promise you that's the most important thing you can begin with. Unless you are right with God, your prayers will never be effective. Unless your heart is right with God, your prayers will never be effective. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you cannot expect answered prayers with sin and iniquity and rebellion in your heart. It just never, never, never will happen. You have to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth," in this earthen vessel, inside of me, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And you cannot expect answered prayer with sin and iniquity in your heart. Look at Psalm 66:18. David, a man after God's own heart, he said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now look at what Peter said, 1 Peter 3:12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So it's not a matter of halfway serving God, being halfway in the world and halfway in the kingdom. It's absolute, total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When you're able to pray, "Father, whatever you have purposed for my life, I know it's so much greater than anything I could ever come up with." See, I already know what I can do. I already know I can fail. I have failed in life. But when I came to Jesus and I reached that place of total surrender, I said, "God, I'm going to find out what you can do. I give you everything. Whatever you require of me, I'll do it. And a lot of people are afraid to pray that. But see, I'd messed up so bad that I wasn't afraid to. I just knew that I needed to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there have been some errors in my life, Brother Clark. I wish that, and I thought I had given it all to God, but I've had to go back. And that's why we have to constantly pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And as God shifts us and moves us and elevates us in his kingdom, we have to find that perfect place in God once again. Look at what John said in 1 John 3:20, talking about our heart and having confidence. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And look at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive it. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Thy kingdom come, Father, in this earthen vessel. Thy will be done in my life, in everything that touches my life. God, let me walk in the light of your word. Let me walk in a way that pleases you. Because if my ways please him and my heart doesn't condemn me, whatever I ask, I'm going to receive it, because I'm going to base everything that I ask him on the word of God. I'm not going to ask selfishly. I'm not going to ask to consume it on my own lust. I'm not going to ask it so I can be promoted and shine like a star. No, there's one bright and morning star. His name is Jesus. I must decrease. He must increase. And if I allow that to happen in my life, God's kingdom comes and God's will is done. And that's the way we're to pray and allow Jesus to have lordship in our lives. These are just some of the powerful verses of Scripture that tell us why we should totally surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. As you pray this, I want you to picture Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart, ruling your spirit, ruling your mind, and ruling your body. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He knew this, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. I don't believe very many people ever reach this place of total, absolute surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. If they did, then things would be different in their lives. That doesn't mean everything's going to be okay. Paul, he went through some hard places. I mean, those early Christians, they were martyred. They were put to death. But they loved not their lives to death. Amen. They said, we love Jesus no matter what. And when you reach that place of absolute total surrender, the Bible says, then we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I mean, what can you do to a man like Paul? He said, I want to stay and I want to preach to you and I want to teach to you, but I want to be with my Father and with Jesus, which is far better. What do you do with a man like that? He said, I'm only staying because you need my help. That's what he was saying. He said, I want to go home and be with Jesus. It's so much better. He had been caught up in the third heaven. He had seen what was on the other side. But he knew he was a debtor to reveal to the church and to write the letters and to help others make it in God's kingdom because of the abundance of revelation that he had received. Let your kingdom come in my body, in my soul, in my spirit. See, all inner healing, it is tied to us having a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot have the peace of God unless you have a proper relationship. You cannot have joy unspeakable that's full of glory unless you have a proper relationship. And you have to have righteousness in order for this to happen in you. So When you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean you won't have problems. You're still going to have things that you're going to have to be sanctified of. You're still going to have things you have to be delivered up of. You're still going to have mindsets. You know, sometimes I say, where in the world did that thought come from? I mean, it's the devil. He injects thoughts in your mind. And he'll say, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't have thought that. No, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd have done that. Hallelujah. So I know freedom and liberty has come. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, Dr. Mark Rutland, he told this story in this book, 21 Seconds to Change Your World. It's a good book. I have enjoyed it, and I marked it up, and I suggest you get one. But this is a story of a deeply depressed woman who came to see a psychiatrist, and she was seeking relief. And after 5 sessions of talking to this doctor, he wrote her prescription, and I'm quoting from his book. Quote, go to Niagara Falls and check into a motel. For 5 days, all day except for meals, stand at the bottom of the falls and stare up at it. Contemplate its awesome power. Do this, the doctor said, and we will see you when you get back. She stared incredulously at the note before exploding in anger. Incredulously means, I can't believe you would do something like this. She looked at the note and then she exploded. You quack. You absolute charlatan. I pay you $100 an hour for every session. And for what? For this? The doctor calmly explained the remarkable prescription this way. I've seen you now for 5 sessions. I mostly listen and you talk without stopping for an hour each time. All you talked about was you, your dreams, your hurts, your failures, and your guilt. All you need to get well is to see something bigger than yourself, end of quote. I tell you what, I can relate to that. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and here's where you need to see him, and is set down at the right hand of his majesty on high, Lord and high priest of a new and a better covenant that he cut with his own precious blood. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I'm not going to look at my problems. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm not going to look at what others are talking about, and they don't have the victory. I'm going to take an upward look. I'm going to look into the face of Jesus. And when I see him, I'm going to see someone who is awesome in power, full of glory, and someone who can take care of my every need, because my Father has promised to supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to stand and look up at something awesome, something glorious, something wonderful. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to take an upward look and get my eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord. Now that's powerful, that all people need to do is to take an upward look. That's why we must pray daily and continually, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Set yourself in agreement with God's will for your life. That sounds so simple, yet it's so hard for most people, because we want to hold on and be in control. But when you let God be in control, then he orders your steps and he orders your stops. And you'll hear a little voice saying, this is the way, walk therein. And then you'll hear a little voice. Have you ever been going down the road, driving maybe, and the Spirit of God speak to you and say, stop. And you don't know why you got that direction, but you stop. Or you take a wrong turn, and you say, I'm going to turn around and go back. And the voice says, no, continue. And God has protected you. God has kept you from what was ahead. That's how God works sometimes. But we've got to submit our will to His will, and that we allow Him to be in control. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're to be led by God's Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Set yourself in agreement with God. Now, I want to cover two parts that are necessary to knowing God's will and to having God's wisdom lead and guide you in life. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. But of Him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us, look at this, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That Jesus Christ has been made unto you, to everyone in the church, wisdom. He is your righteousness. The devil says, oh, you're not right. You say, oh, God, forgive me. Wash me in the blood. And He puts you right back in a right standing. He is your wisdom. He is your righteousness. He is your sanctification. He is your redemption. You're redeemed by the blood. Now, Jesus has been made unto us those four things. Those four characteristics, they belong to us. So we find the wisdom of God in the Word of God. And in the Word, we find general directions. Let me just list a few of these. Look at 1 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every person to be saved. That's God's will. If you are not saved, the first thing you should do is repent of your sins, believe that Jesus died, was your sin bearer, confess those sins, ask the Lord to come into your heart and to save you. With the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God's will is for every person to be saved from their sins. After that, God wants every Christian to be sanctified. That's His will. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. In other words, don't get mixed up in sexual sins. Some people want to say, well, that means other gods. No, there's only one God. I think he's talking about the problem that we have in America. We have sexual sins all everywhere. And everybody is going to be tempted in all points. Amen. You go into a rest home, and there's a man sitting there in his 90s, and he's past being able to do anything, and the nurse comes by, and he just reaches out to touch her. It's in his DNA. He can't help it. He might not even have his right mind. He might be embarrassed by what he did if he had his right mind, because when he was a man in control of everything, brother, you know I'm talking the truth, brother. You work with these people. When he was in control, he would never do anything like that. It was not in his character, his morality, to do that. But it's in his DNA, and when he doesn't have his right mind about him, he reaches out and does something which is totally uncharacteristic of how he has lived his life. I've seen that happen in good Christians' lives. So, you know, some people say, I get saved when I want to. No, get saved while you got your brain about you. Why, you got a good mind, and the Holy Ghost is calling you to get saved. Amen. But God wants us to be saved. God wants us to be sanctified. Look at this. This is God's will that you be filled with His Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means to be filled and filled and filled and refilled. We got a leak. And so we read our Bible. We pray every day. We read the red and pray for the power. Hallelujah. Yeah, be just like Jesus. So God wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at this one. 3 John 2. God wants us to prosper and be in good health. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. And God told me one time, said, I don't want a car like you just bought. Said, I'm happy with this Mustang. I mean, this Pinto. I said, if all you want is a Pinto and you don't want God's blessing, ask him to send your stuff my way. I'd be glad to take it. Hallelujah. I mean, if that's all you want, praise God, that's all right. But, you know, I think God put something in our heart to dream dreams. Having food and raiment, be content. But that doesn't mean be lazy. That doesn't mean don't work. It means go out and find something to do and do it. I mean, dear God, get up and do something. I told somebody, I said, if all I had was a shovel, I'd go out and start digging me a hole, and pretty soon I'd hire somebody, and I'd have me a backhoe, and they'd be operating it, and I'd be standing over there pretty soon, and I'd be managing them dig holes. I'd say I'd be known as the best hole digger, the best grave digger, the best ditch digger in town. I said, I just would do something. I would not sit there doing nothing for the rest of my life. Start where you are. What can you do? Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. God will give you dreams, and if you work, God will cause good things to come your way. God rewards the diligent. Amen? Amen. God wants us to prosper. It's God's will for every Christian to marry a Christian. He does not want Christians marrying unbelievers. So many people in the church, their hearts are broken, their lives are broken, their dreams are broken because they get unequally yoked. They get out of God's will. I mean, God gives direction. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 6:14. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You want a life of misery? If you're a Christian, marry an unbeliever. I guarantee you that you will never get along the way you should and could if you married a Christian. It will not happen. How can two walk together except they agree? See, we got Bible. We got direction. And so we need to do what the Word says. These are just some examples of God's will that are found in the Word. There's a lot more, but they show us the general direction of God's will for our life. But there are times when we need to know God's specific will in a situation, okay? Now, God gives us direction as we seek Him for His specific will. Now, I quoted a verse earlier, 1 Corinthians 1:30, where it said, Jesus had been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, I'm going to quote another verse here. I want you to look at James 1:5. Now, if I already have the wisdom of God, why do I need this? If any man lack wisdom, write down the Bible. Now, I just read it earlier. Jesus has been made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it liberally and upbraid it not. Give it liberty to all men, upbraid it not, means he doesn't chastise you for asking, and it shall be given unto him. See, well, Jesus has been made my wisdom. He's been made my righteousness. He's been made my sanctification. He's been made my redemption. That is my position and your position in Christ. I love the scriptures because they just open up to us. So, if Jesus is my wisdom, why do I have to pray and ask God for wisdom? Well, James 1:5 means if you lack wisdom regarding a specific situation or a certain set of circumstances, you are to ask God, and God will give you the direction that you need. He doesn't give you all those details at once. So that's why we have to continue to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come into my life. The first thing you've got to make sure that is right in your life is you. Amen. Now, I'm going to read you something that God gave me this June the 6th, 1986. This little sheet of paper, along with this book and the power of the Holy Ghost, this has guided my life. And this is what God told me. I had been praying for 1 hour. Everybody left the prayer meeting that Monday morning except for Pastor Eugene Powers and myself. I started praying in the Holy Ghost. And as I prayed in the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden, he's on the other side of the church and he starts interpreting. And this is what God said. I have heard the cry of your heart. I have rebuked the devourer many times for your sake. I will rebuke him for your sake. Woo! Glory! I mean, I'm going through some hard places. Okay? But at this time, God has brought me out. Everything is beautiful. We just had a brand new baby. I got a good job. She's making plenty of money. Everything. I said, God, why are you talking to me like this? Everything in my life is beautiful. I've been saved. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I will not reveal the future to you at this time. It is best for your sake that I not do it. I only say unto you, trust in me, walk by faith. Wow. I will be with you through the darkest valley. I will hold your hand. I will never leave you. Look to me, and I will order your footsteps. Trust in me. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Seek me. Hear my voice and walk in my ways. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. When he told me that, I laughed. I said, I'm not even sick. But guess what? We went to work that day. I was called into my manager's office. She was at the other end of the plant in the traffic department. I was in the purchasing department. They called me and said, your wife's job has been eliminated. God just told me I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There'll not be room enough to receive it. Now, I know all those other promises I read, they're very general. You know, they are promises to everyone if you'll just obtain them by faith and read the word and pray and allow the Holy Ghost to lead you. But now I have this situation that God says, trust me. And he did not give me all the details. He said, it's best for your sake that I not do it. Do you want to know something? I am still living that out in my life. There have been many times that churches have come open, and I could have gotten those much larger churches. I could have. All I had to do was submit my name, because you get to be known. But it was not and was never God's will for me to do that, because I would pray, and I would say, what do you want me to do, Lord? And in my heart has always been connected here. I've never wanted to leave. I'm just happy because I'm in his will and I know it. And he gives me direction. And sometimes, you know, things, they get mighty hard. I mean, you know, if you're going to be a pastor, you've heard me say it, you got to have the mind of a scholar. You got to have the heart of a child and the hide of a rhinoceros. You got to be tough. Sometimes things get hard. But he gives me joy. He gives me peace. He'll send one of you good brothers or sisters by to give me a word of encouragement. He'll help me, and he lets me know I'm pleased. That's what you want to hear from God. You're doing what I called you to do. You have submitted your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm pleased with you. That's what I want to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That has been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Why can't I enter the joys while I'm here? Why can't I have it? He said the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So let's look at another way to pray. First of all, pray for yourself. Secondly, pray for your family. Your family is your second priority. If you're married, pray for your spouse. Pray that righteousness, peace, and joy will rule in the heart of your spouse. Make that declaration of faith and pray it with passion. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my mate's life. Pray over the needs of your spouse. Bind the devil. Loose God's direction. Loose God's power. Loose God's provision. Loose God's divine healing. Loose God's promises over their life. Pray for your mate. Pray that effectual, fervent prayer. Cover them in prayer, and then pray for your children, if you have children. Pray over your children and call them by name. I would go in when they were sleeping. I'd lay my hand on them and pray God's will over my children. I would pray that they never walk in darkness, that they walk right into the light. Well, they went out and strayed away, but they come back. Hallelujah. If you have grandchildren, pray over them and call them out by name. That's what I do. Pray and declare God's kingdom come. God's will be done in their lives. If you're not married, then if your kid's not married, then pray that they marry right. I'm already praying for my grandchildren. I'm praying that they marry right. I pray that my children marry right. Amen. I want God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done in their lives. So, you know, make your petition specific. Pray that your children will submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives, that they will find what it is that they're to do. My son is a contractor. He went to school to be a businessman and didn't like that and changed his major to construction management. He loves what he does. He makes a lot of money, making a whole lot more than I would ever make. I don't know. I hope he does. I hope all of my children do. I hope they prosper. I hope they have a happy marriage. I train them up to do that. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Instill some values in them. I want them to be able to look and sometimes say, I didn't like what he did back then. I didn't like what daddy required of me. But you know what? I'm so thankful now. I get letters like that. I get stuff that's sent to me. I'm so glad you brought me up the way you did. My daughter come in tonight. She said, Daddy, is it wrong to play bingo? I said, not if you're not gambling. I said, just like we used to play Uno cards at home. I said, we didn't have cards that people gamble money with and cards that they told fortune by. I said, I want the devil stuff in my house. I said, we'd have a little game and we'd play Uno. Get the devil stuff out of your house. Don't give him any place. Hallelujah. If you want God to answer your prayers, get serious about his kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Oh, you're a fanatic. Well, I'm a happy fanatic. I'm a fan of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just if you're going to be fanatical, don't go to a ball game and say, woo, glory, look at that ball go through the net. Look at that pass right there. Christians on God help us. What was that last ball game, the Super Bowl? I can't remember what the thing was. I don't care what it was. I know I serve a supernatural God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. I'm not going to be crazy about some ball game. I'll sit there and enjoy it and watch some of it, but it's not going to be a God in my heart. I've got one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven, in my spouse's life, in my children's life, in my grandchildren's life. Hallelujah. You got to pray like that. Treasure in your heart the things that God speaks to you about your children, your grandchildren. That's his wisdom. And he will give you, sometimes, you know, I didn't know what to do in every situation. I would have to pray, God, how do I handle this? This person, this child is not like that other child. They got a will of their own, God, and they don't hardly listen to me. But I know one thing, they listen to you. And so I pray that he'll visit them in their sleep. I pray he'll send right people their way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in the life of my children and my family, Lord. Then pray for your other family members. Look at this right here. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for groanings, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And look at the next verse. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he maketh intercession for the saints. Here it comes, according to the will of God. That word that I got from God, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I have treasured this thing. I've had it since June 30th, 1986. But this has guided my life along with the Word of God, because I knew it was specific to me from my Father. And I said, God, if you think enough of me to speak to me like that, I'm going to do my best to try to walk in a way of the Spirit. So call your children out by name. Pray. Amen. Then pray for leadership. Amen. Pray for your church. Okay? I'm going to do this part real quickly. Pray for your church. That's your third priority. Pray for the pastoral staff here. Pray for faithfulness of our people. Pray for the leadership in this church. Pray for the harvest of souls. As you pray for your pastor and your pastors, ask God to anoint them, to speak to them, to speak through them. Call them out by name. Pray for your pastors and pray for their spouses. Pray that God will help them in their families. Ask the Lord to give your pastors a shepherd's heart. Ask the Lord to give them the wisdom and to help them in life. Give them protection to keep them from all evil. Make them a pure channel through which the gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost can flow. And pray for your church, the leadership. I want you to get a copy of this. I put about 30 copies. This is current as of February the 15th, 2017. It's got every leader, every position in this church, the leaders of those positions. Take it. Pray for those. Take that and just make it a part of your prayer. Oh, I don't have time to do that. Well, somebody told me, I don't know how to pray 5 minutes. Well, I guarantee you can go down that list and pray that, and it'll take you a whole lot more than 5 minutes. But don't let it become like just a duty. Pray till prayer becomes a delight, that it's just like breathing. Some people, they make it a duty. I've got to pray. I've got to read my Bible. That's not what God wants. God wants you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And if you're praying like that, God will put his desires into your heart. God will birth prayer in your heart. God will cause you and draw you to where you want that time to pray and you want the time to read your Bible. We make it religion, and God wants it to be relationship. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. Amen. Pray for faithfulness. Pray for the families. Pray for the vision of the church. Pray that the leadership in this church will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's righteousness and holiness that exalts the nation, that exalts people. And lastly, pray for the harvest. Remember the Great Commission, witness to the lost. Look at Matthew 9:38. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray that the Holy Ghost will add to the church daily such as should be saved. Pray that he will convict people. Pray that he will bring people from the north, south, east, and the west. Pray like this: north, south, east, and west, I command you, loose the harvest of souls that belongs at our church. Let them go in Jesus' name. I break your power by Calvary's blood, devil. I call my family out of darkness. I call them into the marvelous light. I command you to loose them. I have authority, I have power over you. The blood of Jesus declares my victory. Listen to me. Let the harvest of souls go. Do it passionately. Don't sit there and think the devil, you know, like the lady, she was going to get on the bus one day and her little dog come running along behind her wagging his tail. She said, go home, Spot. He just kept wagging his tail. Go home, Spot. He just kept wagging his tail. Go home, Spot. And the bus is getting ready to pull off and she's got to get on. She looked at him and said, I said, go home, Spot. Woo! He just took off running. Hallelujah. Like the man that kept coming to work late. And the man told him, said, you come in one more time late like that, and I'm going to fire you. He just kept showing up every day on time, getting that 5, 10, 15 minutes early. He said, I want to ask you a question. What caused you to come to work before time? He said, well, nobody ever explained it to me the way you did that last time. Sometimes you just got to explain yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Rick, if you would come. The Holy Spirit, the Lord of the harvest, he draws people to the church. Look at Psalm 92:13. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And lastly, pray for our nation. Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our nation, Lord. Pray for our president. Pray for wisdom there. Pray for our businesses. Pray that they will prosper and that people will be able to come and find a good job with good benefits, and the people that hire them, that they will be able to give them a better salary, a better position, better pay. Amen. Pray for the Senate. Pray for the House. Pray for America. Pray for our spiritual leaders. Pray for revival. Pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. The Bible commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the world. Pray for other nations. Pray for all nations. Pray for all people. And in closing, I pray for you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will enter into your spirit, into my spirit, with greater passion and fervency. That he will transform us into a people of prayer. Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence.
Yes, Lord.
Living.
Yes, Lord.
In me.
Hallelujah.
This is my daily.
Yes,
bread.
Father. Let your kingdom come.
This is my daily.
Let your will be done in my life, in my spouse's life, in my children's life, in my grandchildren's life, in my family. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in my church, in the leadership, in the pastoral staff. Help us to pray one for another. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in our country, in our nation, in our state, in our community. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, Lord. Pour out your spirit. Give us revival. Give us a spiritual awakening. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
This is the year.
Hallelujah. My all in all, Lord.
This is the year.
Hallelujah.